cold, most of us find it hard to keep warm. You put on your warmest clothes, maybe even a thermal vest or two. You get out your winter coat, your hats, your scarves, your gloves. You might even have a bowl of lovely hot soup, and you might turn your heating up higher than normal. If you can, you might swap your duvet for a thicker one, or even possibly have two. But many people in Bradford don't have those options. In late 2011, the Department of Health announced a new fund, the Warm Homes Healthy People Fund. The idea was the fund would give grants to local areas to undertake work to help prevent deaths due to cold weather and to help people to stay warm or just to be warmer. Just over £200,000 of the money was awarded to Bradford, and in early 2012, a group of agencies came together to deliver a groundbreaking programme of activities. My name is Peg Alexander, and myself and researcher Judith Foster were asked to evaluate the programme, to give an independent view of how it had actually worked on the ground, and to try and pick out what lessons could be learnt for the future. And this report is actually part of that evaluation. Over the report, you're going to hear from some of the people who delivered services, and you'll hear about some of the findings of the evaluation. Bradford Council's Tina Butler supports the Older People's Partnership in Bradford. And she said how the opportunity of the money allowed them to start thinking about putting in place some plans they'd already been having.
We did earlier start doing some work on sort of looking at winter preparedness. We've done it for quite a few years, but this bid gave us the opportunity to formalise that. But as I say, this just helped to sort of move things in a stronger direction.
Janice Simpson is Bradford Council's Interim Strategic Director of Adult and Community Services. And I caught up with her and I started by asking her why this project is important to the council.
I think the importance to the council lies in a number of related factors, actually. There's a clear link to public health. And, of course, the council is receiving the public health function back from the NHS next year as part of the health and social care reforms. It also links to the overall winter planning that takes place every year with our health partners to ensure that resources are sufficient to meet the needs of the local community and that we actively can manage surges in demand across health and social care. And of course, winter does bring about that potential surge in demand.
The timescales were incredibly fast for this project. The application was made in December 2011 and work had to start in January 2012. Many of the partners only had a week or so to get things in place, and a lot of the delivery took place over a period of around 5 to 6 weeks. So who has this project helped? Becky Allwright is a commissioning manager at Bradford Council, and it was her team that managed the programme.
It's been specific groups that have come up, so the client groups. A lot of asylum seekers, people coming to Bradford from abroad, a lot of children and young people's issues. Not as much about older people as I expected, actually, even though it was a lot led by the Older People's Partnership. I think there was older people's issues that came out of it, but for me, it's been interesting to learn more about other client groups because I specialise in working with older people's stuff. So it was quite an eye-opener from that point of view.
Becky's point highlights one of the evaluation findings, that this programme created relationships, awareness and partnerships between agencies and individuals who didn't previously work together. So what actual activities did the project undertake and how many people did it benefit? Well, it's estimated that nearly 50,000 people benefited from this very short programme in just a matter of weeks through a variety of services. The services were in three areas. There was help and advice about how to keep warm and what to do in winter. There was practical help and support to help people be warmer. And there was also a project which was about helping people to be better neighbours. The first area was help and advice. Age UK Bradford and District were one of the organisations involved in delivering. They produced a winter warmth guide. 40,000 copies were printed. They also produced some thermometers for people to check how warm their homes were.
I'm Keith Nathan, Chief Executive of Age UK Bradford and District. I led on with a group doing the winter guide and ancillary bits of publicity like the thermometer. I think it greatly increased the sort of things we'd done before, because we have done winter guides before and we were able to build on that. Because we were looking at helping a far greater range of vulnerable groups and people, it's improved our working with a whole range of people in children and young people's work with advice and dealing with fuel and other forms of poverty. So it's been a very good experience for us, and it's extended what we would have hoped to have done as a normal activity to help with winter months anyway.
Carers Resource also provided help and advice, and Sarah Baker told me about why they got involved.
This was needed because we have had a lot of comments from carers saying they were beginning to come into fuel poverty, and hence the reason we called the roadshows Eat or Heat. Some mentioned that it was either a choice of paying a fuel bill or paying for the food bill.
Carers Resources experience highlighted one of the key findings of the evaluation. That was the question: was this project about winter warmth and fuel poverty, or was it actually about poverty? Judy Foster was my co-evaluator on this project.
I think what was really shocking to our respondents, certainly, was the level of poverty in the area. Certainly there was fuel poverty, but there was actual practical poverty. I think that was the most shocking outcome that just about everybody noted.
In addition to help and advice, the programme also delivered a whole range of very practical, real, immediate support and help to people who were struggling with the cold. Now, these services were provided by a variety of different organisations, including HAIL, based in Shipley, that's Health Action Local Engagement, Bradford District Care Trust Project HOTS, which is Health on the Street, and In Churches, a charity who work with the homeless. Natasha Thomas of HAIL explains what practical help they were able to provide.
As a project, we had three strands. The first strand was to deliver food parcels and warm sort of practical bit, gloves, socks, draft excluders, blankets, duvets, that kind of thing. And then we had cooking some meals for older people, so we used our outreach mobile venue, otherwise known as the bus, which we then would cook meals for older people to come out and then actually learn some of the, take some of the recipe cards away. We also had just our spob service, which was a very practical thing for anybody who wanted maybe some draft excluders put around their doors or around their windows, just somebody who was very practical in being able to help.
In Churches provided what they call starter packs to Bradford residents. Julie Thompson is their coordinator.
Initially, if somebody's moving from the street into a house, we provide them with a kettle, duvet cover, pots, pans, crockery, all the things that they need to turn a house into a home. But we were finding there were people already in houses that didn't have those basic needs. With this project money, we were able to expand on that.
ANTP, the Advice Network and Training Partnership, is Bradford's umbrella group for advice agencies, and they oversaw the largest element of the programme.
We set up and managed a small grants fund to help clients of advice agencies in Bradford District. We were able to offer very practical, pretty quick help for people who had already presented to advice agencies, mainly because of being in poverty, in debt, or having low income problems, who advice agencies were able to identify as needing quite specific things, very basic stuff like clothes, bedding, a heater, waterproof shoes, but also things like gas and electricity arrears that they simply couldn't pay, and help with bigger amounts of debts that included gas and electricity arrears, which can be radically dealt with in a very positive way through debt relief orders. Probably the most crunch element of it was around topping up prepayment meters, because people who are on a prepayment meter and simply run out of money are just cold. There's nothing they can do. Now, we were able to offer to some people in that desperate circumstance immediately warmth for their house and their children on that same day. Bradford is somewhat fortunate in having 20 really good quality advice agencies in the heart of communities across the district where people can go and get reliable help and advice on what to do. Now, they're advice workers, not miracle workers, but what this project did was it, for a short period, allow those advice workers to make a real quick practical difference.
There were two other big elements of the practical support. The first was some school meals to children who would not have otherwise been eligible. The programme was able to give 150 children school meals for 6 weeks, which meant that those children got a hot meal every day during the week. The programme was also able to buy some snow clearing items that were used in communities. So they were things like grit spinners, rock salt, and even a new gritting trailer that could go out and help communities when the snow and the ice comes. Sue Hodgson of HOTS also provided direct practical support. She explained how what they did built on existing relationships and networks.
We had £15,000 to get out resources to families and individuals in need. We used existing connections with children's centres, with community centres, community workers, health visitors, case managers in the practices to identify people at risk who they felt were vulnerable and needed extra help. I think it was incredibly successful because we were allowed the freedom to respond to people's individual needs. So there wasn't a prescribed for each family we'll do this or this. It was very much about what do they need, what would make a difference to them.
Another main evaluation finding was that there was very real flexibility in terms of how need was met and also in terms of the processes used. As Becky Allwright explained, this was quite deliberate.
The steer from our senior management team was very clearly to not create an industry around this pot of money and that we wanted to get the money out as quickly as possible. So we decided to break up the project into sizeable chunks and then give the management costs that we would have used to employ programme manager for the whole thing. We split that up into chunks so people could use that funding towards some of their own management costs if they needed it, which made it a bit more flexible because if we'd had one person dealing with everything, it almost would have been less successful, I think. However good you are as a project manager, you can't be everywhere and do everything at once. And with the timescales that we had, it was really important that people felt they could move things on themselves without having to come back to us for permission. So we sort of delegated it all a lot more than we would do normally, really.
There was a polarity in the timescale theme in that lots of people would have liked more time to plan, but other people noted also that in actual fact the speed of setup was probably quite beneficial in the fact that they didn't have time to overthink things. The emphasis was on operation rather than process, so it cut down on bureaucracy.
That was evaluator Judith Foster again. So the evaluation found that whilst timescales were both a problem and also beneficial, and that there was a lot of flexibility, the evaluation did find that some more common processes would have helped. Julie Thompson from In Churches again.
I think the reporting was hard to quantify sometimes because of the different things that people were delivering. Maybe a bit more of a succinct summary would help us quantify what we all produce.
You did have some particular challenges around actually buying the food, didn't you?
Just the physical volume, literally physically moving, at the time, £10,000 worth of food. So that was a little bit of a hurdle and a challenge, but we managed to get around that.
Distribution and purchase systems were a problem for a number of the organisations that took part, as they all had to really quickly create their own systems. The individual organisations went about delivering what they had to do as part of the programme. Partnership working was incredibly high. There was real shared experience, ideas were shared, and they learnt from each other. The partners even shared the money. Every organisation did what they had to do for as little cost as possible. Some took no management fees at all, and where savings could be identified, they were ploughed back into the practical support element of the programme. Keith Nathan from Age UK, Bradford and District again.
We had a particular bit of pleasure in my element because we'd already decided if we could, we'd drive the cost down so that the money would go to the frontline support. And overall, the programme did a fantastic job, as you know, of wringing money out of some of the other elements in order that people got more money direct who needed the help. And that was really pleasurable to do that.
Did you do the work during normal office hours?
No. I mean, to be honest, in the voluntary sector you don't, but this probably took more time of evenings and weekends in order to get the drafts out on time and to then turn them round and what have you. But everybody did that. We could see how useful and necessary it was. We were concerned that the weather could turn at any point.
In order to make sure that everyone got all the help they could, the programme included first contact. Becky Allwright, the person who put the original bid together, explained why they included a central referral system.
The First Contact project had been running in Bradford some time ago and it produced incredible results, but the partnership funding wasn't there to take it forward. So we knew the expertise and wherewithal was around, so we could pick that up again. I just thought it was a good opportunity to try and resurrect it, really.
Unfortunately, the evaluation found that the timescales really just were too quick for the First Contact scheme. There just was not enough time to embed it fully into the programme. However, having said that, many people were referred between agencies and to agencies, so it made a real difference and it was important, but it definitely needed more time. Another area the evaluation found it was too soon to analyse was the neighbourly support element. This was an idea that had originally come from Julie Linton of Bradford Older People's Alliance.
We all hear about the days where you could leave your door open and your neighbours would come and bring you a casserole when you moved into the street. Nowadays that doesn't happen. You're lucky if you can live in a street for years and never actually speak to your next door neighbour. If a crisis happens, you wouldn't necessarily go to your next door neighbour. We wanted to just create something which would give people a push in the right direction, give them a little bit of support to say it's okay to offer. We used what was already there. We talked to the neighbourhood wardens and the community development workers in the areas that we'd chosen, and they were more than happy to be the facilitators for a limited time to see if it would work.
Paula Adams was one of those council wardens working on the pilot.
We visited neighbourhoods where we already knew there were active citizens and asked them if they'd like to get involved helping their neighbours. They may not be able to get out of their houses because of ice or snow. They may be colder, so they stay indoors more, but then they're not getting to the shops or even getting to the community centres. Somebody will come along and say, "Are you okay? Do you need help clearing your pavement?" Just a face to see rather than being on their own.
What sort of response did you get when you went knocking on people's doors to suggest would they like a scheme like this?
Some people were very sceptical about getting involved, didn't know their neighbours, and also they didn't feel that they could impose themselves. But the sort of positive side, some of the people that we did actually recruit as coordinators felt that they'd like to get to know their neighbours. You know, had young families, not been in the area very long and thought it was positive and that they would get involved within their neighbourhoods.
Mick Charlton is from Bradford Council's Neighbourhood Service. He took part in an evaluation meeting of all the neighbourhood wardens where they looked at whether the scheme had worked or not, and I spoke to him afterwards.
The thing which has struck me above everything else is it seems to have worked better in some of those inner city areas than in some of the more leafy villages in the district. I think that's of interest, and that's something I think we need to look further at. From what people have just fed back now, they seem to think it was a bit too formalised, and they're basically saying that kind of like support's happening anyway, whereas I suspect in some of the other areas of the district it was very different.
Both Paula Adams and Julie Linton agreed it was too soon to be able to tell whether this part of the programme had worked or not.
It's still too early within the process to see the results of how things are, but hopefully in the next few months we should see how neighbourhoods have benefited from this scheme.
This part of the project was far more about making something happen now that will benefit for years to come. It will be a legacy of that funding.
Key part of the project was always to learn the overall lessons and talk about what's next. So today a strategic summit has been held. We're in Victoria Hall in Keighley. There's over 50 people attended, and ironically it is the warmest day of the year so far. It's been a really successful event. They've heard about the project, they've heard from some of the organisations involved, and they've also looked at the main findings of the evaluation. I caught up with some of the people who've come today to ask them their thoughts on what they've heard.
I'm Johnny Dance of NHS Airedale, Bradford and Leeds. I've heard a lot of very insightful examples of exactly how the initiative has helped to address areas of real need that perhaps I didn't know about before. Specifically, we'll be looking at whether or not we're getting at the people whose needs are greatest.
Some of the more challenging parts of the project. Now, you've heard about some of those during this report, and clearly the full evaluation runs through them in detail. Co-evaluator Judy Foster again.
Some people would have preferred more time for planning, whereas others wouldn't. There were practical things like agencies had to set up their own individual purchasing and distribution systems, which was difficult for some. Communication could have been clearer between partners. There was, in some areas, rather too many meetings. It would have been good to have had more agencies and departments involved, but again, with the timescales, it was only possible to do what could be done at the time. Largely, I'd say that there weren't many difficulties. Largely, it worked really, really well overall.
So, all in all, the evaluation found that despite very short timescales, this had been an extremely successful initiative that had provided very real, immediate and direct help to some of the most needy and vulnerable people. There was no duplication of activity and all the services were needed. In fact, scope exists for more services of that kind. The evaluation also found that the commitment of the organisations and their staff involved was exceptional, that the partnership working had really added to the project, and there was unanimous agreement that there is a need for winter warmth activity in Bradford to continue. But the report does make a number of recommendations about how the project could be changed for the better if it were to happen again. And it also makes recommendations to make sure that some of those bigger strategic lessons aren't lost from this project, especially those messages around poverty and very practical things that people needed, and how those need to feed into all sorts of other areas of work, not just winter warmth, but also new responsibilities that are coming to the council and things like NHS strategy and policy. It also suggests that actually all relevant organisations maybe might want to have a look at what they do in the light of this programme, because one of the findings was that maybe we think we're further on than we are in those very basic needs, and we're concentrating on other issues and maybe forgetting about some of those very basic needs that people have. So what happens next? Janice Simpson, Interim Strategic Director at Bradford Council's Adult and Community Services.
What we plan to do is to feed the evaluation back into the Department of Health evaluation that will be taking place in the summer. There's an event, a national event in July, which representatives from this work will be going to. But also, I will be reconvening the partnership group, because I didn't feel it was the end of our work. But actually, we need to look at the messages that are coming out of today and see what, if anything else, we need to do as a partnership group to make sure that the lessons and the learning and any issues around sustainability are acted upon, and that this excellent piece of work isn't just lost and seen as just a one-off activity, but actually it can help us in our thinking moving forward. I have to say, I've been delighted with the outcome and the results from the project, and it does really show the impact of partnership working and how it can actually make a difference on the ground.
So it looks like this is just the start. If you want to get a copy of the full report or you'd like a summary of the evaluation findings, please email commissioninginbox@bradford.gov.uk. There is one group of people you haven't heard from, though, and that is those who were actually directly helped. So the evaluation report includes their stories, but it seemed only right to me to finish here by hearing two stories that typify this programme and what it achieved.
The story was, I'll call the young lady Amy, first responder had said this girl had nothing and she was 9 months pregnant, she had special needs. We went to the flat and found she was sleeping on a literally bloody, bloodstained mattress that she'd retrieved from a skip. She'd been eating cold food for about 6 months. She'd no heating. She had literally a television and a sofa. So we were literally able to go out and purchase a starter pack for her, get her food parcels, get her some electric, get her into services, and then the people that referred her to us were able to support her in, you know, going forward with antenatal services and then counselling and all sorts of things like that. I've seen the young lady quite recently and it's a real positive story. And that literally came about giving her a handout of food and a starter pack.
Perhaps a good example is a woman who's 46 years old, really quite ill, in a bad spine problems, ulcer problems, asthma and a low blood count. And her six-year-old daughter was primarily looking after or helping to look after her. The woman herself couldn't work because of her physical and mental health problems. And the advice agency that had been in touch with them were helping her and her daughter out, and they'd provided a carer's holiday grant, and they knew that money was a real problem for that family. So being able to get a small grant, and bear in mind it is a small grant, it's only 300 quid. To a lot of people it means next to nothing, but to this person it meant she could buy a coat for her daughter. It meant she could pay for the heating because she was in arrears. It meant she could buy bedding to keep her daughter warm. It meant she could buy waterproof shoes. It's really basic stuff, but think of the difference that would make to you if you couldn't keep your six-year-old daughter warm and your six-year-old daughter is your prime carer. It's tragic, but it's also brilliant that we've been able to provide that sort of help.